You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:30, passion is as rottenness to the bones. Lust, passion, that which is within. If it's uncensored, uncontrolled, it's like rottenness. It's rotten within a person. It rots the personality. It rots the character. It decays. It corrupts. It putrefies. That's what it did to Amnon. He thought nothing of raping his sister. You think, what an evil thing. Hey, times haven't changed. You read the news?
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 13 and 14.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because
now, David has repented, if you've been with us. He had committed the sin of adultery and murder. And as Spurgeon said, the repentance needs to be as notorious as the sin. I think sometimes people will sin egregiously and that just kind of covers over and nothing more is said about it. And it puts a question in your mind, did they actually repent? You mean they're back in ministry? Did they really repent? No, there should be no question in a person's mind. If someone has sinned publicly and they've sinned egregiously, then that repentance needs to be in the same degree, probably even more. And so I love that quote of Charles Spurgeon, the repentance needs to be as notorious as the sin, and it was so with David. It was covered up for about 2 years. And then Nathan came, if you're with us last time, and he spoke to David that parable, that story that brought David to the point of seeing his own sin. And David basically said, I have sinned against the Lord. And then right away, Nathan said, the Lord has also taken away your sin. So you see, it really just comes to a place of contrition, where our hearts are broken over what we did. Now, David for 2 years, yeah, he wasn't living it up for 2 years. I mean, his life was just falling apart. And you can read it in the Psalms, in Psalm 51, Psalm 32. I mean, he was just under God's heavy hand. And he was miserable at that time. But you know, we can choose our sin, but we can't choose the consequence. You're going to see that the consequence of David's sin, it dogged his life for the rest of his life. And so we're going to be seeing that, but the forgiveness is there. You know, sometimes I know people, their sin is forgiven, but boy, their life is a shambles at this point, and they're trying to put everything back in place. I mean, it's been shattered, and now piece by piece, they're trying to make it fit together, although they're forgiven. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the forgiveness is there, but you know, the consequence. And that's what we're going to see with David. First, that sin affects our relationship with God. And so we know that now David, he gets right with God, you know, and God has forgiven him. Now, I believe after that, there's somewhat of a spiritual dullness in David. And as we go on, we'll see that. I think sin will do that. You know, when you come to the Lord and there's that pure flow of the Spirit, you and God, and it's like, man, you just hear the voice of the Lord, or you have a love for the Lord, and any little thing you know, that's sinful. It's just like you don't want to hear it. You know, your ears burn if somebody uses the Lord's name in vain. Or if you see something that is, you know, kind of sensual, you know, on the screen, you don't want to look. You close your eyes. There's such a pureness there. And then you find if you do fall, if somehow there is a sin that comes into the life, it does affect the relationship with the Lord, but if there's a repentance, then there's a forgiveness, but somehow it dulls that sensitivity that you once had with the Lord. I'm not saying you can't get that back, but it takes time. It really takes, you know, a path of total commitment to the Lord. And we see with David, it first affected God, but then the second thing that it affects, sin does, it affects those that are closest to you. It affects those in the home, those that are right next to you, your family. And what we're going to see here as we go on is that's exactly what it affected. It affected the family. You see, David is not a great example of a father. I mean, every preacher that preaches, they'll say, David is not a good example of fatherhood. He's not a good example of discipline. He's not a good example of training his children. And maybe that's why Solomon wrote so much about train up a child, because he saw by an example of his dad that wasn't that good. You know, so Solomon talked a lot about it. Now, David was great at training men and drawing men to himself, but he just wasn't that good with the family, and we'll see that as we go on in chapter 13. It said, now, it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, David, because he had a number of wives, he had children by those wives. So Tamar was David's daughter, and Amnon was David's son, but by different mothers. And Tamar was the sister of Absalom, and Absalom was the half-brother of Amnon. And so what we see here is Amnon is really attracted to his half-sister, Tamar. Physical attraction, be careful. Physical attraction. It's not everything that it, you know, is trumped up to be. Because physical attraction, it could release the hormones, you know, in a person. Those hormones begin to flow and you can get really excited. And it's not necessarily a good determination of true love. And that's so in this case. You see, we're going to see that what Amnon has is a very selfish, it says love here. I would term it lust. It's a very selfish thing that Amnon has. Because when you think of genuine love is not interested in taking for itself. But you see, it wants to give to another. And it's not what's best for me. Hey, I love you. What's best for me? No, but it's what's good for them, for that other person. It doesn't seek this selfish gratification or satisfaction, but wants what is best for the other person. In fact, will go out of its way, will sacrifice for that other person. That's love. You see, physical attraction is not a good barometer of what love is and what love isn't. Yeah, there's a part to love, true love, that physical attraction has. Greg Laurie has just been doing a series on, you know, on that, and he's talked to the women, you know, and he basically talks about the women, and he mentioned if the barn, he said if the house needs painting, paint it. Talking about women, you know, fixing themselves up. And he said, some houses need more coats than others. And I thought, well, that's funny. I don't know what the women thought about him after that service, if he got some emails. But just basically being attraction. A guy shouldn't be a slob and you know, a woman shouldn't, you know, look haggard. But you see, true love should not be determined by how a person looks. Because love is defined in the Bible, and it's defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As we go through what I'm going to talk about tonight in Samuel, I need to recognize what true love is. Because it's the kind of love that God provides for an individual, you know, for those that are connected with Him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant, love does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So that's love. That's the kind of love that wants to make that other person happy and benefit them. And me, I'll come second to them in doing for them. And I'm going to be happy, satisfied by, you know, looking out for them, basically. Amnon's love, that wasn't love, that's lust. And we see in the fruit of what takes place. Well, let's go on, verse 2. It says, and Amnon was so frustrated because his sister Tamar, that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. So this was his first cousin, basically. That was his friend, his first cousin, David's brother. So that's the connection. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so depressed, mourning after mourning? Will you not tell me? Then Amnon said to him, I am in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom. Jonadab then said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me some food to eat, and let her prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand. Then David sent to the house of Tamar, saying, go now to your brother Amnon, his house, and prepare food for him. This is no friend. It's a friend. Jonathan, you're a friend, are you? And you're trying to craft something that is going to be evil, Jonadab? That's no friend. When you find a friend is trying to lead you into evil, that is no friend. In the world, I've had friends like that. And, you know, I've seen that in action. But you see, notice what is happening here. And notice what David did, and it seems now one of his sons is doing, and it doesn't end here. Remember how David schemed? And remember when David sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, home to be with his wife so that he would lay with his wife and cover up David's sin because David had already got her pregnant? Remember that? And now notice what's happening. His son, Amnon, is now also scheming, and he's using his father David to have David send Tamar to his house that he might now commit the sin of rape. Now, David doesn't know all that. But wouldn't you kind of be wise to that? You see, I think David's sin at this point, it had dulled his spiritual sensitivities. Tamar being a beautiful woman and here his son, you got to know a little bit of your sons, what's going on in their heart. I mean, this wasn't just, you know, off the cuff, a whimsical thing. You got to know that this son, you know, was probably doing this a lot, lusting after not just his sister, but other women. But David, dull spiritually. Why? I think he set himself up with his own sin. It kind of dulled that sensitivity. Then in verse 8, so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. And she took dough, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and dished them out before him, and he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. So Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom of her brother Amnon. And when she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come, lie with me, my sister. I think this woman, she was a virgin. I think she was so innocent, she had no idea what Amnon was up to. You know, there are women that are very, well, I want to say naive, but they're naive. They're innocent and evil. They don't know the evil in the heart of some men. And so in that sense, they just don't have a clue there. I've had to tell my wife, you know, because she's like an open book, and she's so friendly, and she's just wonderful. And I've had to say, hun, you got to be careful when you talk to, you know, that fella, because it could give a wrong impression. He could have gotten a wrong impression. And she's just aghast. Really? And I said, yeah, you don't know what's in the heart of guys. Sometimes that can happen. Be careful. Be careful with that. And so I think she was a very innocent woman. But wait a minute. Like father, like son. Like David, here the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Amnon. Notice he saw as she was making the cakes. He saw her making the cakes. He liked that. He wanted her to make them in front of him. And he lusted. And he said, come, let's go into the bedroom. And then he has sex with her. What did David do? On the roof, looking, peering over the roof, he saw Bathsheba bathing, lusted after her, brought her to his bedroom and had sex with her. Boy, very similar, isn't it? It's a pattern. It's a pattern that's taking place in David's life. It's a sad situation. David never necessarily corrected this. I don't even know if he went to his family and repented to his family, repented to the Lord. I don't know if he tried to make amends with his sons and his daughters and say, hey, family, gather around. I just want you to know I blew it horribly. I am so sorry. It is not how to live your life. I don't think so. You see, the Bible tells us in Exodus 34:7, he forgives iniquity. God forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. But then there's an addendum there for those that hate God or those that don't repent. Amnon was a guy that didn't repent. He just followed in his father's footsteps. Although his father repented, he repented to God. We don't know exactly what took place in making amends with others that were close to him and his family. But obviously, we see the same pattern in Amnon that we already saw in David. And notice verse 12, it says, but she answered him, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not listen to her, since he was stronger than she. He violated her and lay with her. She's trying to reason with him. Ask our father, and he will give me to you as wife. He's not going for that. He doesn't want to go that route. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:30, passion is as rottenness to the bones. Lust, passion, that which is within. If it's uncensored, uncontrolled, it's like rottenness. It's rotten within a person. It rottens the personality. It rottens the character. It decays. It corrupts. It putrefies. That's what it did to Amnon. He thought nothing of raping his sister. You think, what an evil thing. Hey, times haven't changed. You read the news? I almost can't read the news. You know, I think, you know, I'm hoping justice will come. I know the Lord's going to come, but I'm just thinking, in a society, a just society, it should come. But you see, stuff like that happens today because there's a rottenness in our society, and we kick God out. You know, we can't pray, we can't have a Bible, and yet we can do every evil thing and incorporate it into our school system, into our society, and it almost doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you can see on TV and what you can hear and some of the lyrics of these rap songs and what they're teaching in school, Pono Choices, and, you know, they'll advocate that. They're sexualizing the kids and stuff. Is it any wonder? You know, when you kick God out of society, that's what happens. And he goes on here in verse 15, it says, then Amnon, notice this is important, hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get out, go away. Let me pause right there before we go on and, you know, see the rest of this. But passion, lust, it's not just something that is generated within a person. There's something that goes with that. It's not just, ooh, satisfy yourself, then you go on your way. No, there's a thing called conquering, especially in the male. With that passion, with that lust, it's not only gratifying that, but it's conquering that. And that's what Amnon did. He conquered. He conquered Tamar.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 13 and 14. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 13 and 14. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.